Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hey there, welcome to Talking Golf Getaways. Glad you're with us as always, no matter where you find us, on iTunes or Audioboom, or of course at golftripx.com. You can share our journeys at Golf Trip Experts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find the one, the only Darren Bunch at Golf Getaways on Twitter and Instagram. And of course, you know by now, you can find me at Mitch Lawrence throughout the online cosmos. Darren, dude, it is good to talk to you again, my friend. I miss, in this time of limited travel, I miss walking the fairways with you. I miss sharing, well, everything we normally share.
There's no doubt it sucks. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. It's terrible that when we live on opposite coasts, we can't get together more. We're still playing some golf. You know, I think one of the silver linings, if there is a silver lining of this pandemic, is that you particularly have gotten to go out and maybe see some places that you might not have otherwise seen. We spend so much time talking about, you know, bucket list courses. I'm on my way to the Sheep Ranch, in the coming weeks. And, you know, we talk about Bannon and we talk about the big places, but, you know, you got to go to that little place there in North Carolina. You know, you would think I would remember the name since we did an entire podcast.
Shira State Park.
And with our friend Mark Stewart. Now you ended up in Glade Springs, West Virginia, right? Glade Springs Resort.
It's actually
in West Virginia.
Resort in Daniels, West Virginia. And, you know, before we actually roll into Glade Springs, and I can't wait to share about the trip, but when you and I try to close your eyes, okay. D, and go back. When you and I were talking about doing Talking Golf Getaways, the thing that we wanted to really kind of focus on, and the reason we wanted to do it was we said places like Bandon and Stream Song and Whistling Straits and Sand Valley and Prairie Club, pick the big ones. They don't really need our help.
Right.
Yes, we want to go. Yes, we love to talk about them, but they don't need our help. The places that we want to really discover are exactly what Glade Springs Resort is about, which are these kind of mid-level resorts and destinations that have incredible golf to offer that most people haven't heard of. I mean, I live in Myrtle Beach. Took us 6 hours to drive there. I had never heard of Glade Springs.
I've never heard of most places in West Virginia except for the Greenbrier, basically. And what is it, Oakhurst, that we talk about because of the hickories?
Yes, that's right near the Greenbrier.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other courses, but my point is that this is a perfect example of what you and I originally started to really want to explore. So I'm really glad that I got a chance to do it. Before I share about that, though, you want to remind our listeners about this. Talk about traveling, a trip that is going to happen in August of 2021.
Yeah, talk about bucket lists. We're going to Northern Ireland and Ireland, a collection of mind-blowing courses, Royal County Down, Royal Portrush, Ardglass. I think we're playing Port Stewart on there. We're staying at just some amazing resorts. The Slieve Donard is just a fantastic place, the Bushmills Inn. There's so much that you're going to want to do. You get to travel with us, which, I mean, let's be serious. That
well,
should be the thing that
we
matters.
Really don't even have to say anything else.
Right, exactly. That should be all that matters about this trip. But you can go to golfnewsnet.com for details, or you can reach out to our friend Ryan Ballingy on the Twitters or the Instagrams or wherever you like to reach out to Ryan Ballingy. And, you know, spots are already going fast. We're starting to plan this. August of 2021, that is the Golf Trip Experts Golf News Net listeners trip for Ireland and Northern Ireland.
And boy, could we use it. This is where I wish time travel had already been invented and we could be there.
No doubt about it.
All right. So Daniels, West Virginia. I know you're dying to know how Glade Springs even came up on my radar. When our friends Bob and Vicky Paske, who live in Michigan, and Ava and I have known them for 30 years. Vicky played on tour with Ava. Bob and I, we've all been great friends.
When you say on tour, for our new listeners, that's not a golf tour.
Not the golf tour. That would be the Women's Professional Billiard Association tour.
Correct.
And my wife and Vicky were both instrumental in starting the association, playing for years. And they've known each other since Ava lived in Michigan when she moved from Sweden. So anyway, the four of us, to celebrate my 70th birthday, which came up in March, were on our way to Scotland.
Yes.
And we were supposed to be there last week.
Which I was still bitter about, the fact that Bob and Vicky get to go to Scotland with you, and I didn't even get an invite.
Well, I've been to Scotland with you.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean we can't go again.
Well, maybe from my perspective, it does. No, I'm kidding, of course.
Fair enough.
But anyway, the four of us had planned this trip, booked everything. East Lothian, my bucket list courses, Musselburgh, North Berwick, Gullen, Dunbar, you know, 2 days in St. Andrews, the whole thing. Great. Along comes this ridiculous COVID deal. We have to cancel that trip. And about 6 weeks ago, we were on the phone. And I said, okay, let's stop whining because we can't go to Scotland. Let's just get in our cars, you from Michigan and us from Myrtle Beach, and meet somewhere in the middle during the week we were supposed to be in Scotland. So long story short, we decided to do that. And I didn't really know any place in the middle of Michigan and Myrtle Beach. I looked around. I knew about the Greenbrier. But I kind of, the four of us looked at it and said, nah, I mean, I want to play the courses, but a little, really pricey, not a little pricey. So I put it up on Twitter and I just threw it out there. And this is what I love about Twitter. I just said, anybody know of any good places? And my good friend, Scott Hamilton, who's lives in the Triad area in North Carolina now, but is originally, was born and raised in West Virginia. He lived there originally. He got back to me and he messaged me and he said, if you're going to West Virginia, I have the perfect spot, Glade Springs. So I looked it up, said three golf courses, great inn, you know, hotel to stay at, a lot of activities, looked nice. And that's how we actually came to it. And Scott was instrumental. He's a fantastic sports writer, really great sports writer, covers all the sports in the Triad area, but is a senior writer at Golf Week magazine. And he's just, he's a great guy.
So we're not talking about the ice skater.
No.
And it's weird that I have to ask that, but with
I mean,
you,
I can
never,
talk to you.
With you, I never know because you might know the ice skater.
Well, Scott Hamilton is a good friend of ours,
yeah,
the ice skater.
There you go.
Okay. I did not mention ice skating because Scott Hamilton, my good friend, the writer, if you were listening, you heard me say he's a sports writer. Okay.
You have so
anyway,
many
Scott...
friends that you have duplicate names of friends. You probably have another friend named Darren Bunch somewhere.
I do. He's a farmer. He's a soybean farmer. He lives in Oklahoma. All right, anyway, so Scott Hamilton, great guy that he is, initiated this process, and he put me in touch with someone named Michelle Rotellini, who's a great friend of his, who he's known for a long time, and Michelle is the CEO and the president of the Beckley-Raleigh County Chamber of Commerce, which is where the area that Glade Springs is in. So I got in touch with her. She started the process on that end, put me in touch with a great woman named Michelle Meadows, who's the social sales manager at Glade Springs. And little by little, with their help, the three of them, we put together this trip. And they couldn't have been nicer. They couldn't have been more accommodating, which as we spent time at Glade Springs, I realized that's how people are there. It's not out of the ordinary. Everybody there was incredible. I'll get to that a little bit later. But the three of them really set this up for us and helped us, you know, set up the times at the golf courses. And we worked with them for rooms. And they were just great. They set the whole thing up. So off we went. And we were really excited. Every day that got closer, kind of, you know when you're getting ready for a trip, especially now when you've been home.
Yep.
I mean, we literally could not wait.
I'm already planning my abandoned trip, and I don't leave for another, as we record this, I don't leave for another 5 days. So,
yeah, there you go.
Now, you said this place is really centrally located, right?
I mean,
Virginia, D.C., Pittsburgh, Columbus, you came up from Myrtle, they came from Michigan. I mean, pretty much anywhere you need to get from, you could kind of make a, less than a day's drive to get to this place from pretty much anywhere in the eastern half of the U.S.
Yeah, and it's not even less than a day's drive. I looked at a map, and I was, because I don't know a lot about West Virginia. You know, I really haven't spent a lot of time there at all. And I looked at a map, and I kind of went, this is unbelievable. It happens to be just the geographic location of it. It's literally surrounded by a bunch of major cities, and it took Bob and Vicky 8 hours from Lansing, Michigan. Which sounds like you should have to drive 2 days to get to West Virginia, but it's literally not bad. And then you look at all the other places that you were mentioning, you know, Washington, Pittsburgh, Columbus, Ohio, Louisville, Kentucky, North Carolina, South Carolina. You can, and in this time of a lot of people not traveling by air, this to me is the perfect kind of place to get away. You really feel like you're getting away. You're not going an hour close to where you live. I mean, we were in the mountains in West Virginia, the beautiful Appalachian Mountains, and the drive in for the last couple hours is beautiful, and you feel like you're getting away. It's a real vacation. So that was the first kind of hit that we were going to someplace really cool.
That's awesome. Let's dive into the golf, because there were courses here that you absolutely fell in love with. There were some you had questions about. But one of them you talked about that I would love, and you believe any of us, any golf purist would love. I mean, let's just start rolling through the golf, because I want to hear about all these courses.
Okay, so there's three of them there. I did a little bit of research before I went, but as you know, until you get there and actually play them, you don't really know what you're seeing. But I'm going to start with the first course we played and the first course that was built at Glade Springs. That's the Cobb course, named after George Cobb.
Appropriately.
I would venture to say, though, that most people, and this happens with so many architects, Darren, that you and I kind of, over the years, you become aware of people. A lot of people, most people probably have no idea who George Cobb was, because he's no longer with us, sadly. But he's the perfect example of this. This is a guy, an architect, unbelievably prolific, over 200 golf courses or renovations. Many of them in the Carolinas and Georgia. I was familiar with George Cobb because of courses, two of them in Myrtle Beach that I love. And I've been familiar with them since I started to play the Surf Club, which was built in 1960. And is one of my favorite golf courses in Myrtle Beach. Very traditional, fantastic. He did the build out of the Pine Hills course at Myrtlewood Golf Club. That was later renovated by Arthur Hills, and I play that course a lot. He also did a place called Bald Head Island, which, to me, that's a whole other episode, off the coast of North Carolina, an hour ferry ride. He did the Bald Head Island course.
Don't remind me about Bald Head Island. That was one of the many things that got canceled in the pandemic for me.
There you go. And it's really too bad, because that course and the whole experience on Bald Head Island would flip you out. But anyway, George Cobb is one of those guys. Here's some other stuff that he did. I just was fascinated when I started reading about him. He was a World War II Marine. He was a scratch golfer. So they commissioned him in the military to design a whole bunch of military golf courses. And if you look at the list, it's staggering. He also did the first two of the Hilton Head Island courses, which I have played at Sea Pines, the Ocean and Sea Marsh courses. And those literally helped springboard Hilton Head to becoming the golf destination that it was, that it is now. He also did private courses like another two of my favorites in the mountains, Linville Ridge and Hound Ears in the Blue Ridge Mountains in North Carolina, that are two of the most fun, beautiful golf courses you can play.
Linville looks fantastic. So,
And Hound Ears, not just because we love dogs, you and I. But Hound Ears is also fantastic. I mean, really fantastic. And he did a renovation of a golf course you may have heard of called East Lake.
Yes.
In Atlanta.
Yes.
In 1960. And that was before, you know, the later renovations, obviously. But he worked on that. He did Quail Hollow in 1961. And that was, you know, just he's one of those guys that he's touched all these golf courses that we see now, including another semi-famous golf course, the par 3 course at Augusta National.
Which gets a little bit of a claim.
Yeah, he was the design consultant at Augusta for a couple of decades.
Wow.
And he and Bobby Jones designed the par 3 course in 1958. And so anyway, going to the Cobb course, it's the only course, by the way, that has his name on it, his actual name, the Cobb course, which I thought was great. And when I got there, it's the course that sits right at the clubhouse at Glade Springs. Beautiful driving range, great practice facilities, a beautiful clubhouse. And the Cobb course is right there. So you start, and the four of us, and I'll just say this quickly at the beginning, the four of us, you may remember when I talked last summer, we went up to Michigan. We did the Mackinac Island trip, yes, and Wawashkamo and the loop at Forest Dunes. Bob and Vicky are who we played with. So there's four of us. Bob is about an 8 handicap, good golfer. His wife, Vicky, is a beginner, kind of. She's played a couple of years, has gotten much better. Not great, but she plays fast, loves the game. My wife, Ava, as you know, is a good golfer. She's a 15 handicap or so.
And better than
I got
you.
Her down to, well, I got her down to, finally down to one up over me lifetime on this trip. So, you know, but Ava's good. And then there's me, and I can be anything. I just go out and have a good time. And so that's the four people. So we got a real wide variety. The Cobb course, I'm going to say the name now, Tom Clark, and he will figure into every course of the three at Glade Springs. And Tom is, I got to talk to him. He was kind enough to call me back yesterday. I left a message for him, and we talked for 45 minutes. He's a fantastic guy, a former president of the American Society of Golf Course Architects, and he's another one of these guys who's done a ton of work. We'll get to that a little bit later. But the Cobb course, it's consistently ranked in the top five in West Virginia. Golf Digest had it at number five last year. It's been the home to U.S. Open qualifiers, the West Virginia Open, the NCAA National Championships, and it hosts the pre-qualifier and the Monday qualifier for the Greenbrier Classic. So you know you're getting a good golf course when you step onto the Cobb course. It was built originally in 72, and then Tom Clark came in and did some renovations on it. And interestingly, when he talked to me about it, he said, yeah, here's what I did. He said, I love George Cobb. He said, so because of the length of players now compared to what it was, I had to do a bunch of moving of tees, and I moved some bunkers around because they weren't in great spots for the way players play now. He said, but the one thing that I did not touch were the greens.
Nice.
And I have to tell you, the greens at the Cobb course are otherworldly. They are huge. Some of them are 10,000 square feet. I mean, they're enormous. They have a lot of undulation in them. So even though the actual layout of the golf course is not incredibly hard, the second shots and the putting and the work around the greens is what makes the Cobb course, to me, fantastic. It's, as all the courses at Glade Springs, a beautiful location. I mean, really beautiful location. You've got rock outcroppings, these immense forests of all different kinds of trees, including hickory trees.
Darren. Whoa.
And they were great. And the thing about the Cobb course, as we were playing it, I was going, it's not that long. It's only 7150 or something from the back. And I was thinking of all these guys now. I thought, that's really not long. But there's a lot of corridors because of the forest. There's a lot of really kind of small forest corridors that you have to hit through. If they grow the rough up at the Cobb course and they slick the greens, if they really get them rolling, I could see where this is going to be a qualifier for the Greenbrier.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's going to go really, really low. From the back tees, and like I said, 7150, but the slope is 74.8 and the rating 143. It's a tough golf course.
It's funny you talk about the greens too, because I think that's a thing we talk about here on the show a lot, mm-hmm, is there are memorable things in a round of golf. One of those things, I think, is hitting the ball close and seeing the ball, you know, track to the hole, you know, when you're on the tee on a par three or in the fairway on an approach. But the other most memorable thing, I think, and I think back to even your golf over the years and the video you have of making some god-awful long putt, is that, you know, that's what we remember. We remember making a wild, undulating long putt. And that's the kind of, mm-hmm, thing that sticks with you. And you can't do that if you don't have huge greens. Huge undulating, right, greens, I think, are so much fun and add so much character to almost any golf course. So to me, that part of this course just sounds fantastic.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And we did. We laughed a lot. And especially, remember, anytime you go to a destination you haven't been to, you're not familiar. It's like when you and I, you know, we're at Stream Song Black, those greens, obviously enormous, right. Huge undulations. Any of the places we've played, when you're unfamiliar with them, the first time you play them, you better take a laughing, let's have some fun approach.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, there's no other way to play them if you really want to have fun. So we did that at the Cobb. All four of us loved it. We just felt like this. It was a great way to start the few days we had there. Beautiful conditioning. They really do a good job. And we felt like when we were there that it was exactly the kind of place we wanted to be. You know, we walked off the golf course. We were all happy. We had some fun matches going on. Ava and I and the four of us had a six-hole rotational switch partners match. You know, and we just had a great time. So it was exactly the way. And listen to this part. This is another thing about Glade Springs and these kinds of destinations that's off the charts to me. In the high season, which at Glade Springs is May to September, it's $115 Monday to Thursday.
It's still not bad. Not bad for a resort.
No. And it's $125 Friday to Sunday on the weekend. In October, which to me, there's a really good chance we're going to go back in September or October because of the leaves.
Yeah, it's got to be beautiful
colors.
In October.
I mean, you're in the mountains. $68 Monday to Thursday and $73 on the weekend.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think they've done everything right. I think the pricing is on the Cobb course is totally fair. You're getting a championship golf course, obviously, in great conditions. And I thought it really was something that was special. All right. I want to move to Stonehaven. I've already told you this privately. I could spend a week talking about how much we loved Stonehaven.
And you talked about you told me that you loved it and that I would love it. And so mm-hmm. I'm fascinated to hear the why behind that.
Ranking wise, it's ranked the number three course in West Virginia by, to me, an important source, which is Golf Advisor. You know, it's a mixture of their reviewers and ratings and reviews.
Sure.
So to me, it makes total sense. Tom Clark, again, now this is in 2003, he gets called back to do Stonehaven. He had done a lot of work with Cooper Communities, which he had built. I think he told me he's done 24 golf courses for Cooper Communities around the country. So they called. They were looking for a private course at Glade Springs that would help them with membership. They already had the Cobb course that was open to the public at the resort, but they wanted a private course that they could use to attract people to come and actually live at Glade Springs and become members of. So Tom goes back. He had done some of the renovation work, as I said, on the Cobb course, and he goes back in 2003. And they didn't just get a private flagship course, but as far as I was concerned, they got an unbelievably magnificent addition and an instant, literally, West Virginia favorite with people who played it.
So now this
as soon as it opened,
this is an original design by him, not work that he did on another course like with the Cobb course.
Correct.
And is it still private or is it available to people who stay?
It's private, but obviously we got to play it. If you stay at the resort, you have access to the course.
Okay.
And so to me, it's kind of the perfect combination. You know, you're staying there, you get to play the Cobb course on Woodhaven, which we'll talk about shortly. But the ability to get on this golf course and play it, and they are so nice about it. It's not, you know, you go some places and you can tell that the members, they know they have to have some resort play to get some income and maybe do some stuff. But it's the friendliest, most welcoming place that I can talk about. So anyway, Clark goes in. He told me that there were a couple of holes at the beginning of the layout that he used that Cobb had originally cleared and was thinking of using on the Cobb course. He wound up not using them. Tom Clark went in, kind of used parts of that to begin Stonehaven, and then went on from there. There's a 69-acre lake, Chatham Lake. The forests, again, are ridiculous. There's 80 feet of elevation changes, some of them just staggering. I will tell you about one of them in a little while, one of the amazing experiences I've ever had on a golf course. But the entire, I think, just as a general kind of rule, to me it was a perfect resort course because it's beautiful, I mean, visually, it is absolutely stunning. It is gentle and playable for anybody who wants to play it. Depending on what your game is and what you're looking to do. Everybody, all four of us felt that way. The work that Tom Clark did there with the rocks are, at the beginning, my friend Vicky, when she heard it was called Stonehaven, and she said, I want to see some stones. They better have stones if it's called Stonehaven. And I got to tell you, the rock outcroppings at Stonehaven are not only off the charts cool, but just fascinating. And Tom worked them into the golf course in a really fantastic way. The second hole is a par three, downhill, and you tee off, and you're looking at this beautiful green and a bunker that's short right, and I'll mention that quickly. It's full of what looks from the tee like black sand. Mm-hmm. And when you get down there, he actually wanted to use what's called coal slag, which he thought was fascinating, and he figured there'd be a ton of it in West Virginia, that you could just go and kind of get this coal slag, which was dark, and he thought it would give an interesting contrast, but there was none around. He couldn't find any. So he used crushed granite from the rocks that were there. So probably half the waste bunker areas and some of the greenside bunkers are in this beautiful gray-black sand. And it does, it gives a really different look to all different parts of the golf course. It's a little different to hit out of than regular sand, but not enough where you'd go, oh, this is really weird. I mean, I liked it a lot. It was beautiful. Trust me, I hit out of it a bunch.
It's a little grainy.
It was really a great,
grainier
great touch.
When you have to play
yeah,
out of it.
It is. It was a little
The grainy. Nicholas course, yeah. Old Works up in Montana has bunkers that are made of slag, which obviously you said you're using crushed granite here, but that's just what it made me think of. That dark look in the bunkers is beautiful there, and I can only imagine that it creates a real nice contrast here.
Yep, and everything is so clean. I mean, the design of the golf course, there's nothing tricked up about it. You know, there's all different kinds of holes. The variety of the golf course is amazing. Left to right, right to left holes, short par fours, great par fives. The par threes, all of them are fantastic, beautiful, fun to play, scoreable. You know, if you hit good shots, you get rewarded. Every one of them was just wonderful. But to get back to the rock, he took the hillside from the tees when you drive down, and each level of tee box, and there's five or four, each level on the front side of it has these rocks that he's laid into the side of the hill. So when you get down to the bottom and you go walk up to the green, you turn around and the whole hillside is these tiered layers of rock outcroppings. I mean, I'd never seen it anywhere else. It's really, really beautiful. And then there's other holes. That was the only hole, he told me, where he carved the hillside and then laid the rocks in. Everything else on the golf course, even though they're arranged meticulously, he would take the outcropping that was there and either blast some of it or just leave it. And you get these pileups of rocks. They never really come into play. It's not like you're hitting into them and your ball bounces off them. Unless there's one hole, there's a great par four where it fronts around a lake. And if you hit it short, it's going to hit that. But otherwise, they're just this constant reminder of where you are in the mountains of West Virginia.
That was going to be my question because up, you know, Eric and I, Eric Hart, the mobile golfer, works with us. He and I went up and did golf through the Canadian Shield a few summers back. And there were a lot of courses that had dramatic outcroppings, but they were very much in play. And you found yourself kind of playing this ping pong golf. And, you know, at sometimes it took away from the sheer beauty of the golf course because you missed the fairway by 4 or 5 yards. And all of a sudden your ball ricochets another 50 yards.
Yep. So. And that doesn't happen at Stonehaven. I was going to say on the par threes, the sixth hole is, he doesn't stack the rocks. He just left this huge outcropping of natural rock that you see from the tee and you see as you ride by and you go up to the green. But it's a par three. It never, unless you mishit your ball and hit it 50 yards, it's not coming anywhere near that rock. And he does that a lot. So you're aware of it. but it doesn't, your ball's not bouncing around, which would take it to a whole different direction.
Yep. Let me ask you, you've mentioned here a fantastic ride. We've run across some of these in the course of our travels. I think of Winty Vineyards out here in California has a hole that looks like Lombard Street. And in fact, they put a street sign on it. I know at our friends at Purcell Farms down there in Farm Links, they have a par three that you go up this windy road to get to the top and you feel like you're on top of the world. Talk about the 16th hole.
Well, what's interesting about this, and I'll tell you the backstory. When you get off the 15th, you get in your cart and you start to drive, and it's a residential community. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to get to some spots. I mean, you see some houses, beautiful houses all around. You very rarely venture out on a road. I don't think at all on Stonehaven we ever were out anywhere on the property, you know, on a road. But you go off the 15th, and all of a sudden you're going up a cart path around up a hill. And all of a sudden, you not only you don't cross over a road, but you make a right turn and you follow an actual development road for, I'm going to say, 500 yards probably. I mean, it's a pretty good ride up the side of this hill. We have no idea where we're going. We're just following the signs. All of a sudden, it says 16th hole this way, and you make a right, and it's a forest part of the mountain. You make a right turn, and all of a sudden you're looking down, I gotta say it's 100 feet easy, and the cart path starts there and literally, like Lombard Street, winds, and every time you make the turn you get to see the 16th hole down at the base of this.
Nice.
Which is gorgeous. But by the time you're at, and I was going slow, man. This is a scary cart ride. But at the same time, you're in awe of what you're watching. And you're kind of thinking, you know how when we play at these places, you go, how did they do this? Where did this come from? What? So you get to the bottom, you're at the tee, you kind of take a moment to breathe. And I got to talk to Tom about it. And I said, tell me the story, because very unusual to be out on a road. And really unusual to have that kind of ride down to the 16th tee. He said, if it were up to me, and this will figure a little bit in something I'm going to talk about with Woodhaven too. You and I talk often about the difference in architects and their relationship to developers, the people who own the golf courses, and what they're kind of forced in a way to do based on the owner's whims. He said, if it were me and I was just building that course for me, I would have cut from the 15th green around the side of the mountain and directly to the 16th tee. Mm-hmm. You would have had a cart ride, but it would have been through the trees to that tee. He said, but because of the way the development was developed by the Cooper community, they had to build that road and put the houses where they put them, and I could no longer do that. He said, and when we realized what we had to do, he said, trust me, and I love this. He said, if I could have put a T at the top of that cart place, you know, the path, he said, I would have done it. But we really couldn't do it. So, and we loved it. You know, we literally flipped out. It was, you've played 15 holes, it's hot, you're kind of looking for what's next, and none of us ever expected it. It was a big surprise, and then followed by an absolutely fantastic hole and the rest of the golf course. So it was just a great, great kind of another Stonehaven thing that blew us away. That's the only way I can put it. I'm going to wrap this up by what I think is the best recommendation for Stonehaven in my particular golf world, Darren.
Yes.
I have played golf with my wife for 30 years. In one form or another. We've traveled around the world. We've played all over the place. We've loved golf courses together. My wife is not the kind of person who plays 18 and then says, let's go again. I've never heard her do
it. She is not an emergency nine person unless she's answering her questions here on the podcast.
Not at all. She just doesn't. She usually starts to get tired after 14 holes. We joke about it. To her, 14 is the perfect length for a golf course. She starts getting tired after that. So to her, 18 is fine. Let me go in. We'll have a drink. But when we finish Stonehaven, literally, we went in, we stopped, we got something to drink. She said, I want to go play another nine. And I've never heard her say it in 30 years.
That's awesome.
She could not wait to get back out. We all felt that way, so we did. Went out and played another nine. Now, you have to mention, I can't believe you haven't brought this up.
Well, I was waiting for the appropriate time. You like this course, and we joke a lot. I joke with Eric about this a lot, that you always like a course better when you play better. And you had a fairly memorable shot on number nine here on Stonehaven.
I did.
You shot at 80, which blew just my mind's still blown about that, because it was just a week or two ago when we were recording the podcast that you were like, well, you need to start giving me shots because you're playing so well right now, blah, 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 blah. And I haven't even sniffed 80, it feels like. So.
Well, I haven't sniffed 80. I don't remember the last time.
Yeah, well, I mean, Roosevelt was in the White House the last time you shot 80. But, you know, tell us about what happened on 9. And, you know, I couldn't be happier for you. I love seeing the ball go in the hole for people.
Okay, one of the I'll quickly throw in another great feature that made Stonehaven the perfect kind of resort course to me. The Cobb has a lot of, because the greens are such a big part of the Cobb course, the surrounds around the green can be tricky. There's a lot of, you know, pitch shots and different shots around the green that you have to really be able to pitch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Not my strong suit, as you know. I shot 88 on the Cobb, so it wasn't a bad day. But the Stonehaven course, the surrounds are magnificent. A lot of chipping areas that are close cut. You can putt a lot of times from 20 yards off the green. He really gave you a place where if your short game isn't great, you still have a wonderful time. So I had played pretty well on the front. And I wasn't keeping score. I had no idea what my score was. I knew I was playing well. So I get to nine. I hit a good drive down the left side. I'm in the rough, little downhill lie. I have 135 yards to the pin. So, and I was playing, I had a kind of mixed bag of hickories and modern clubs. And I take out a nine iron because I thought it was going to jump. And literally put the best swing that I made in 3 days on the shot. I'm not saying that just as hyperbole. Absolutely pure. Center of the club face, great contact. And I'm standing there and I'm watching this, and the three, Ava and Bob and Vicky, and we're watching this, and it's a little bit of a downhill shot. And I, of course, as it gets close to the green, go, oh, just go in. Now, and the last time that happened was when Ava and I were playing in Venezuela in the 90s. That's the last time I hold a shot from the fairway. So it hits about, I don't know, 10 yards short of the flag, literally dead on line, starts to roll, goes right in the center of the cup.
Yep.
Not even a, you know, whisper. So we're all kind of yelling and screaming. And so we finish that nine, and Bob says, I don't know if you know it, but you just shot 37 on the front. And I went, uh-oh. So we played the back, and I hit some good shots. I was playing pretty well, not as well as the front. But I wasn't keeping track. I wasn't going, okay, I got to shoot. I got to break 80. Darren's going to love this.
Right.
I wasn't saying that. So I get to 18, par five. Hit a couple of okay shots, one kind of squirrely shot. I have about a 5-6 footer for bogey and lip it out. That's the only double bogey I had all day. And
that was 80.
And Bob, he felt so bad. He said, should I have told you that you needed to bogey that hole? I said, no, Bob, I don't care. I'm not, you know, this isn't going to kill me.
I think it's funny, though, that is, you know, something where if you can turn your mind off from scoring, a lot of times you score better. One of the downfalls of my game right now in the pandemic is that I almost never get a scorecard. So I keep the score in my head. And the problem with that is you know exactly where you are at all times. And so, you know, when you are going low, you know, your brain kicks in and goes, whoa, you're pretty low.
Yeah.
You know, and on the flip side of that, you have that kind of situation where, in this case, Bob was your conscience Yes. But you know, my conscience gets in the way sometimes. Not so much as of late. I've had a pretty good run of 80s in the 80s lately. So all right. So, you know, another one, the other thing about Stonehaven here, same thing with the pricing. It's incredibly affordable, and if you go in October, it's phenomenal. $68, $73 if you go in there. Let's talk a little bit about Woodhaven real quickly. It was, you know, probably not, this is not to say bad things about it, but you know, we think about things and we make lists all the time, and Woodhaven was probably your least favorite of the three for some reasons. Talk a little bit about the, I guess, the challenges that Tom Clark had in making that golf course, and kind of why it became as really difficult as it is.
Yeah. Really interesting situation. They, because of Stonehaven and the work he had done on the Cobb course, they asked Tom Clark to come back in 2009, I think he went to actually do the build of Woodhaven. He, when I talked to him, he said to me, it was pretty obvious that George Cobb took the best piece of land at Glade Springs and Stonehaven was the second best piece of land and Woodhaven was the third best piece of land. He said, so it had its challenges when he got there, and he knew what he was getting into. The land itself is, again, beautiful. You got mountains. It's, you can repeat, put it on repeat. Mountains, beautiful terrain, rocks, forests. There's a lot of great features about Woodhaven. It's two really distinct nine-hole loops. The first one plays over a gorge called the Glade Creek Gorge. Another, the second nine through a valley. So it's got a lot of different features. I think the main challenge for all of us, the four of us, because we all felt the same way when we played it, there's a lot of blind shots. There's a lot of the biggest factor, I think, and the biggest challenge. The fairways are so sloped at Woodhaven. It's a mountain course. And as Tom Clark told me, mountain courses are challenging to build because you've got to do some, you got to allow for roll because it's a mountain course, but you also have to do work to make sure that the areas that receive golf shots are good, that they're fair. Yeah. So he had gone up, he built this whole plan out to start Woodhaven. Was very much looking forward to it. And he got there, and right before they started construction, there was an issue relative to the community, the homeowners association, just the people involved on the business side of building the golf course. I won't go into it, but the short story is that there was $2 million removed from the budget at Woodhaven at that time. And so that took away Tom's ability to really build out the golf course the way he had seen it. And as a result, there's shots, and there, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of really good holes at Woodhaven, and there are a lot of, we just embraced this part of the golf course after the first few holes because we said we're here to have fun.
Sure.
So let's just play. There's a lot of blind shots, so you don't know where you're hitting. There's a lot of roll off in the fairway, so shots that you think are good drives wind up rolling down and makes the shot into the greens tougher. But there's a lot of really beautiful, you know, shots and a lot of incredibly interesting parts of Woodhaven. And that's, we just hung on to that all the way around. Everybody I talked to, the guys in the pro shop, everybody said, yeah, this is a really hard golf course. And I talked to, there was one guy in the pro shop, his name was Patrick, who was great. And I'm going to mention him just in a second about another aspect of Glade Springs. But Patrick and I were talking, and he asked after we played Stonehaven, which we actually played the third day. We had played Woodhaven the day before. And he said, how'd you like Stonehaven? And I raved about it. And he said, you know, I agree. He said, I love Stonehaven. He said, but it also could have something to do with the fact that you played Woodhaven the day before.
Right.
And I said, well, there's no question that you know, the round was tougher at Woodhaven. That's the only way I can put it. So all in all, I think the fact that there's three courses, and Patrick actually said to me an interesting point, which I think is a great idea. He said when they have scramble events booked at Glade Springs, a lot of the time they put them out on the Woodhaven course. Because if you have four shots at it, you can, you know, you can work your way toward getting some shots to go where you want them and actually play the golf course. From Tom Clark's point of view, He said he really believes that the bones of Woodhaven, if, you know, there was an ability to really bring it up to what the original vision was, that it could be every bit as good as Stonehaven.
I think it's interesting that people would think, well, $2 million is a lot of money. But the average guy who plays golf doesn't understand that losing that kind of money in the budget, what it does to a golf course, because I think people look at, well, you're just moving dirt or you're just doing this. And even just moving dirt requires a lot of money and fuel and equipment. In this case, where you're talking about a place with a lot of rocks and that type of thing, you've got blasting concerns. Mm-hmm. You know, that's probably why one of the reasons why some of the fairways didn't get level. You and I were talking before we got on air. Some of the holes that you were talking about remind me of the 11th at Rio Bravo here that I complain about nonstop at my home club here, because you can't hit the middle of the fairway no matter how hard you try. And then it begins to get inside your head because you're like, oh, well, I have to hit a draw to try to get anywhere close there. And then you still end up in the rough. So that part of this conversation fascinates me, in that taking away that budget money really takes a layout that could be fantastic probably. And just in the execution of it, they're not able to do what they wanted to do.
Right. So. And that's the truth. And I completely felt that way. And so I think relative to the three courses, you know, if you go to Glade Springs, I think there's no question that the Cobb course and Stonehaven are the two courses that you'll enjoy the most. If you feel like a challenge and you want to get out there and hit some crazy shots, Woodhaven's fine. You know, I said, though, after Stonehaven, as much as I love the Cobb course, if you send me back to Glade Springs and said you're playing 5 days at Stonehaven, I would be absolutely thrilled. I mean, if you said 5 days at the Cobb course, I'd be happy too.
Right.
So the choices there are what really stand out to me, and the whole complex is wonderful, obviously. And again, I want to give a shout out to Tom Clark, because I didn't know really anything about him until this whole trip, especially after talking to him. He designed the TPC at Avenel. He designed one of the courses at Kings Mills Resort in Williamsburg. Did Bideaway. He did, in checking on him, Darren, you'll love this. He worked in Canada, Country Club of Little Rock. He's built places all over the place. But my favorite, he built a place called Shangri-La in Monkey Island, Oklahoma.
Which now I need to go find.
Which, yeah, I figured you and I are on that track. But anyway, shout out to Tom Clark for giving us, let's say two of the three great resort courses that I've really played. You and I just want to kind of wrap this up by mentioning a couple of the other parts. This is a resort. There's no question. There's not a lot going on in the towns around Glade Springs. If you plan a trip there, 98% of what you will do is inside the gates at Glade Springs.
Good.
It's a town of Daniels. It's very West Virginia. You know, there's a lot of real working class, hardworking people. The next town over is called Beaver, West Virginia.
because of course it is.
It's just a very, yes, well, there's a lot of creeks and a lot of beavers. But anyway, the whole Berkeley-Raleigh County area, it's a beautiful part of the country. Glade Springs itself is massive. I mean, there is so much to do. And we played golf. We were only there for 3 full days. We played golf. At one point, they have an escape room at Glade Springs,
nice,
which I've always wanted to do. And we had set up a reservation to do it. Some of the things, the activities are curtailed because of COVID, but they send one family at a time into the escape room. And we were excited. We had a little bit of a shift in tee times at Stonehaven, so we didn't get to do that. But there is so much to do. If you're thinking about doing this as a family trip, I keep thinking about Eric and his family and the things they do when they go on, or Jason Deegan, you know, they do a ton of stuff with their families. And they have boating, paddleboarding, fishing. There's Mallard Lake, beautiful lakes. They have archery. They have a leisure center that we went in with a bowling center with 10 lanes, That's gorgeous. They have a game room. They have an indoor pool. They have tennis. They have fitness. They have the escape room. There's hiking. And they have something for the family called geocaching, which I'd never heard
of. Okay, me either.
And this is, it's an outdoor treasure hunt. And you use a GPS either on your phone or they give you one, where you go around the property looking for what are called geocaches. And they're containers with different items in them.
Sweet.
So it's basically a treasure hunt. Then you go, and when you find one, you check in and you put that down, and then you go to the next one. But it looks like a, and it's a great way to see the property, which is beautiful. You know, it's really great. So the activities are fabulous. You and I often talk about lodging.
Yes.
Because it's a real big deal. And Glade Springs has some of the biggest variety of lodging options of any place I've been, literally. We stayed at the Inn, which is a beautiful hotel. Not huge, but really well done, beautiful interior, lobby. And again, some of it is curtailed. They have a restaurant called the Rotunda inside the hotel, which normally serves dinner, but they're closed at this point. They're not serving dinner in there. You can have breakfast early in the morning. They've figured out a way for you to come in, and they just kind of serve it to you. There's no buffet. From what I heard, they have one of the best buffets you've ever experienced, but they aren't running that now. But the thing we spent a lot of time at, there's a place called the Bunker Bar.
Nice.
Which you would love. And it's at the clubhouse where the Cobb course is. So after your round, for lunch, for dinner, we ate a bunch of meals there. We had drinks there. It overlooks the Cobb course. Great kind of sports bar, beautiful bar area. They have two pool tables, which for us was kind of fun. They have a lot of seating, a lot of TVs, a lot of sports. It's just a great place to hang out. And so that's a big deal when you're at Glade Springs. Then we ate one night at the Glades restaurant, which is also there. They're open Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights. And that's a dynamite kind of high-end restaurant. Great food. I mean, you would have loved it there. Really beautifully done. Wonderful chef. And a great meal. We had we spent probably 2.5 hours just sitting there, enjoying it, talking, having some drinks. Great desserts, you know, the whole shot. It was really, really wonderfully done. I'm going to mention I couldn't possibly spend enough time on the lodging there.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a brief rundown. We stayed at the Inn, as I said, great room, great hotel. They have deluxe rooms. They have executive suites in the hotel, all of them beautiful, and different sizes, so you can have a variety of people. They also have what's called the Manor House, rooms and suites. They have a two-bedroom manor house suites, which sleeps 12. They have the villas, which sleep 12. They have a four-bedroom Chestnut Hill Lodge, which you can get. If you're thinking about a buddy trip of any kind or an event to have where you bring a bunch of golfers in, four-bedroom Chestnut Hill Lodge sleeps up to 22. They have a six-bedroom lodge, Chestnut Hill Lodge, which sleeps up to 32. And that's all on property.
I don't even have 32 people I'd want to go travel with, especially now, but in general,
no,
even
course.
Before COVID, I didn't.
Of course. I was going to say, pretty much as far as your friends, you know, two bedrooms.
That's all we need.
And they have pet-friendly rooms and lodges too.
Oh, which you can't go wrong with. But one thing that you hinted at this earlier in the podcast, and I think this is more important than ever right now, because I see it as I go to different places. I see good customer service and I see bad customer service.
Okay, wait.
Yes.
I don't want to skip over this because it's a key point. Do not let me forget to mention one restaurant that we went off campus to, which was fantastic. I mentioned at the top of the podcast, Michelle Rotellini.
Yes.
Who was with the Chamber of Commerce, who helped get this whole thing set up. After we had booked the trip, she got back to me and she said, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention this, but my husband and I own a restaurant that's, you know, a couple miles from the resort. We'd love to have you come over for dinner. I said, fine, great. It's called the Dish Cafe. I went on Facebook. I saw it. Wonderful menu. So we went there one night. And I have to tell you, Darren, you stick this place anywhere and you would be thrilled to have dinner there. Unbelievable food and very... I don't know how to say this, unusual for the location. We didn't find any other restaurants looking around that were done the same way that the Dish Cafe was. I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I just mean Michelle and her husband decided to do this kind of restaurant because they both love good food.
Right.
And so they opened the Dish Cafe up. It's beautiful inside, obviously not as crowded with social distancing, with, you know, that part of the experience. But again, we spent a couple hours there. Michelle and her husband came in to say hi. A beautiful bar area and really, really a great place called the Dish Cafe. So just a pro tip, if you happen to go to Glade Springs, do not miss the Dish Cafe.
Nice.
All right, now let's talk customer service before we leave. You and I always talk about this, like you said. They really get it at Glade Springs. And I can't explain it. From every person that we dealt with in any part of the experience, from the front desk people in the hotel, to the people at the restaurants, the waiters, the waitresses, the pro shop. I want to give another shout out, and I should have at the top too, but when we were starting this whole thing, Kyle Long, who's the head pro at Glade Springs, was fantastic. And I talked to him before we went, and he was helpful. But the way he and his staff run the pro shop, the way they deal with you when you come in, the way they talk to you, the friendliness, and it's not phony friendliness, it's real. We're really glad you're here. And I want to give a shout out to two people that are on Kyle's staff. Patrick, who I mentioned before, who's in the pro shop, just a great kid. And this is one way you know that they really care about what's going on. I said that I had kind of a half set of hickories and regular clubs there.
Yes.
About, we were on Stonehaven and probably six holes in, I went to hit a shot with my Mashie Niblick and realized it wasn't in my bag. And I had left it. I was thinking probably three holes before is where I thought. So Ava said, go back and get it. And I said, no, there's people behind us. I don't want to. I'm fine. Hopefully somebody will turn it in. And I had told Patrick that he looked at my hickories and he loved talking about them. So we keep playing. And about, I don't know, four or five holes later, so we're now in the middle of the golf course because Stonehaven goes out. It doesn't come back to the clubhouse. We're all the way out somewhere. And here comes Patrick with the club. And he said, somebody turned it in at the clubhouse. And I thought, well, he's probably going to need it. So I'll just run it out to him. Now, I've lost, all of us have left clubs.
Right.
And we hope they're returned at the clubhouse. But that, to me, said pretty much everything I needed to know about how they deal with it. You know, he knew that it was something that I probably would want to play, and had nothing. And the other thing that happened, there was a little mix-up I mentioned in the Stonehaven Tea Times, and that starter area is away from the hotel. So you take your golf cart there. Well, we thought our time had been changed to 9:30 instead of noon, and our two carts show up, and there's got to be probably 25 women about to tee off in their women's league play. And there's a guy named Richard who had already dealt with us once before. And we show up and we said, they moved our time to 9:30. And he looks at his tee sheet and he goes, I don't have you on here. And then he starts laughing. And he looks at us and he says, don't worry, I got you covered. And he looked at the women who were standing around and he just went, okay, there's an open spot right now, go. And he shot us out ahead of the women. And which, either way, if we had gone back to noon, it didn't matter.
Right.
But his whole, it wasn't just that he did it. It was his whole attitude. You know, that's the part of it that got to, I think, all four of us. Everybody was truly happy that we were there. They don't know
us.
They
wanted to help.
They had no idea who we were. Yeah, everybody. Kind, happy, helpful, and not in a condescending kind of way. Just everybody very real. And I think that's, that kind of makes it, like I said, during the fall when it gets really beautiful, I can really see us going back up there.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it sounds like a good place, and maybe I'll go there with you sometime if you want to travel with
fun,
me instead of Bob and Vicky. Bob and Vicky are my new arch nemesis.
And you don't even know
them. That's right.
So sad. It's so sad. All right, man. No, I would love to have you. You would love this place. And I know that when we were there, I kept thinking about you and me and Brian and Eric and Ryan, and, you know, just our friends and the way we like to be together. This is a great hang with great golf and great people. So Thanks to all the people that helped. Again, thanks to Scott and the two Michelles, Kyle, all the people. Elmer, who is one of the owners. And,
now you're just making up.
Great also, so. No, I'm not. They're all great, and I'm appreciative. So the heck.
All right. Well, we also have to thank the listeners. We couldn't do it without you. Keep us keep in contact with us at Golf Trip Experts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And if you have the chance, rate us on iTunes so we can continue to spotlight the best in golf travel.
You're darn right. You know, we talk about this. Glade Springs was, for my wife, her friends, and me, a dream getaway, the best of what golf offers. Hope you have the chance soon to run down a dream or two of your own. Talk to you soon, Dee. So long, everybody.